Sorry. Struggling with a bit of a cough. So, if I have to take a sip from time to time or, you know, cough a little bit, please pardon me. I don't know about you. I couldn't sing very much because of the cough. But I had a wonderful time of worship. You know, today we're talking about challenges, struggles. You know, the things that just make us human. You know, we heard from Hui Min about the things that she struggled with. We heard from Eugene about inconsistencies and problems like that. And I really, really wonder if you relate to that. Well, before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we take the time to study your word, we pray that you will open our hearts and open our minds to your word, and that your word would come alive to us in a special way. Lord, encourage our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, the things that we're looking at, the things that we're struggling with, there are always going to be challenges in life, right? There are always going to be weaknesses. There are always going to be inconsistencies. There are always going to be, well, all sorts of things that will come into play. But you know, one word that I have for you this afternoon is that, you know, as you look at all these things in your own heart, in your own mind, what comes is a sense of shame. Right? I should be better. I could be better. I should have done better. You know, some of you write to me and you describe your faith like this. My faith is 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. So there's a book that Charles Swindoll has written, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. You know, and that's how our faith is. Well, for some of us, faith is 3 steps forward, 3 steps back. So that one is stagnation. If you are 3 steps forward, 4 or 5 steps back, that's backsliding. Okay, but whatever it is whatever way that you describe your faith, you know, you're going to face that challenge. You're going to face weaknesses. You're going to face inconsistencies. And that is that human part of us that we all struggle with. And very, very often, what comes about as we look at ourselves is this sense of shame. You know, just wish I could be better. Could be better. Just wish I could be more. You know, do I struggle with things like that? Of course. Do I struggle with reading the Lord's Word consistently and studying it consistently? Of course. Do I struggle with, you know, waking up early in the morning every day? Of course. Yes, of course. Right? Do I feel shame? Oh yeah, sometimes I feel shame. But that's what it is, right? It's that sense of shame that is so real. And it can be crippling, it can be debilitating, it can really, really limit you. You know, it's that sense of shame. But I just want to ask you a question. When God looks at this, what do you think He sees? How do you think God sees this? Okay, and the word that I really want to bring to you is this. God looks at all this and He says, N-A. Not applicable. Not ashamed. Not ashamed. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 16 is our text. And we read, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, and that really speaks to my heart. But of course you may be asking, well, of course He's not ashamed, right? Because the people that they're talking about in this verse are our heroes of faith, right? They're mentioned right here, Hebrews 11, is like a, you know, Hollywood Walk of Fame, right? This one is the faith version, right? It is the Hall of Fame. And they're there. So, of course, God is not ashamed of them, but He's ashamed of me, or you, or anyone else, right? And the answer is no. You know, these people were as human as you get. And that's the truth. That's what it's like. It's just what it is to be human. It happens to all of us, the best of us. Right? I mean, let me just give you an example, just so you can understand this a little better. Okay, so, you know, when you look at the book of Hebrews, what you see is that the author is doing a snapshot kind of thing. So when he says that, look, this is Abraham's faith, this is what he did, he obeyed, went to a place, he did not know where he was going. Snapshot faith at that moment. You see the faith there. But it does not necessarily reflect he was faithful all the way through. There were moments, yes, but there were also low moments. And this is one of those low moments. So we have, you know, we learned last week about Sarah, right? This lovely couple. You have Abraham here. You have Sarah over here. Okay? And so God says, you will have a son. In fact, you won't just have a son. You will have descendants that more than the stars in the sky that you can count. So, okay, but problem is she's barren. She's been barren right from the start. From Genesis 12, it's already written that she's barren. Okay, which means she cannot have children. So, she began to struggle with her faith. He began to struggle with his faith. And so, she had a brilliant idea. Okay, why don't we, you know, let me just do this. Okay, I have this maidservant. Her name is Hagar. All right, now, since I cannot have children, why don't you have a child with Hagar? So Abraham said, well, he's struggling, she's struggling. He's like, okay. And he went into it. And so out comes a boy called, I will call him Ish. His name is Ishmael. Okay? Problem. God was not consulted. Okay? It was God that said, you will have a child. And it was like this, not like this. God was not consulted at all. Okay? And so it is stated, Genesis 16, the very last verse, that Abraham was 86 years old when he had Ishmael. Okay? And if you read Genesis, you will see that Abraham had this relationship with God. God would speak to him and Abraham would respond in prayer. He would build an altar. God would speak to him, and that was the case. And then suddenly in Genesis 17, Genesis 16, the last verse, he was 86 years old. Genesis 17, first verse, he was 99. Between here and here is 14 years of nothing. What happened? 14 years of silence from God. Radio silence. Nothing. Nothing recorded. No altar building, no praying, no worshipping, no the Lord speaking to his heart, nothing. Guess what? He drifted. 14 years. Any of you drifted from the Lord 14 years? Anyone? 14 years. And this is our hero of faith. This is Abraham. Okay? But you know something? At this point, when he was 99, right, and God said, Abraham, look, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And that proved to be the turning point of his whole life. And from then on, Abraham's faith just grew. His walk with God grew even more and more and more. We all will make mistakes, you see. Abraham made mistakes. Sarah made mistakes. Look, it's written there that Sarah had had faith. She judged him faithful who promised. Yes, correct, she did at the end. But in the meantime, when God gave that promise, you know, it's written in Genesis 18, God gave that promise to Sarah. And she laughed in her heart. Can you imagine laughing at God in your heart? And then God had to address that. Said, Sarah laughed when I gave that promise. And Sarah was afraid. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, no, you did laugh. It's genuine, it's there. It's Genesis 18. She laughed. The doubt was there. The frustration was there. You know, this is just what it means to be human. You know, and God will look at all these things. And He looks directly straight into your life. He knows everything. He understands that. And he says, you know what? Not ashamed. And that's it. You know, God is simply not ashamed of you. Not ashamed of me. Not ashamed of our failures. I'm not saying that God does not rebuke us. I'm not saying that we do not need to be corrected. But what I am saying is that God is not ashamed of us. You know, that really, really speaks to my heart. That means a lot to me. You know, the Lord understands whatever it is that you're going through. Are you a person who is prone to drifting left, right, center, everywhere? You know something? God's not ashamed of you. Are you a person who is prone to a love for the things of the world, and yet your heart still tells you you want this faith in God? The Lord's not ashamed of that either. But it doesn't mean that, okay, that's it. Lord is not ashamed, you know, that's fine. I can do whatever I want now, you know. No, the Lord is looking for one thing. Okay, and you see this word in 11:16. And the word is therefore. Correct? And God is looking for something. In the midst of all the struggles that they faced, Abraham and Sarah, you know, God saw one thing that they had. And what is that one thing? Okay, we look at verse 13. And you read, these all died in faith. What is God really looking out for? Perfection in your life? No. But God's looking out for faith. You know, and Abraham went on to be that example of faith for me and for you. And Sarah went on to prove that faith real. And so the author of Hebrews says, this is Sarah. And this is the one who judged him faithful, who promised. You know, this is what God is looking out for. Faith. Not perfection. Right? But what does it really, really, really mean to have faith? And I want to suggest two things. So, okay, first is an A. Okay? Not ashamed. Okay, but the second thing is, what does it really mean to have faith? And I want to suggest to you that to have faith is to never, never stop trying. And they didn't stop trying. Abraham never stopped trying. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, he struggled. Yes, he had doubts. But you know what? He didn't stop trying. Sarah never stopped trying. Do you know how hard it is to struggle with infertility? You know, I heard recently an account of this couple. And they didn't have children. Couldn't have children. Tried many times, many years. And they spent up to six figures on IVF. You know IVF? It's an artificial way of test tube way of having children. You know, and they went through all sorts of things just to have children, and they didn't manage to have children. Because we went through a very, very severe problem. The lady's uterus actually ruptured, started bleeding on the inside, and the woman almost died. But this is what people do to get children. You know, people are desperate. It's not an easy thing. But Sarah never stopped trying. That's the thing. You know, sometimes, you know, we stop trying too easily. You know, but the heroes of faith, and what I really liked about them is that they never stop trying. Right? Keep trying. What is faith? Keep trying. Never, 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 never give up. You know, when I want to ask you, what are the things that cause you to keep trying? What are the things that cause you to keep going on and on and on in your own walk with the Lord? What is it that keeps you going? You know, when I was in secondary 2, I joined this, I was in this CCA, I was in kayaking CCA. So, you know, we took part in the nationals, and, you know, I was very upset because, you know, as you can see, I'm a very skinny fella. All my friends were big, they had muscles, they were strong, they were skilled. Whoa, they won medals and everything. I didn't even get into the finals. You know, I was so upset. So I sat at the pier on my own. And I just, okay. You know, I just felt so, nobody else cared. I mean, they all did well. They all won. They're happy. But I really, really, really felt down. You know, I didn't want to try anymore. I thought to myself, I did everything that I was supposed to do, right? I went to train, went to build my muscles, went to do all these things, build the, you know, but it's not working out. It's just not working out. And I was very upset. But as I sat there, you know, my coach came by, my kayak coach. My coach is a big guy. Well, he's not tall, but he's very, very, you know, his muscles are very, very big. And he's a very big guy. And he came and he sat by me. You know, and he said, "Hey Ben, what's up?" So I told him, "Look, coach, I just feel like I let everyone down, you know. This is the school, this is the nationals, and I tried hard, I did my part, but somehow I didn't make it. You know, and I just really feel like quitting. Maybe I'm not cut out for this." You know, and my coach, he came alongside and then he said, "You know, Ben, sometimes you just don't stop trying." And in life, in whatever it is that you do, you don't ever stop trying. Right? And we don't stop trying. And I that really moved me, because this was a coach and I'm just one of his students, one of his trainees, and he would do such a thing. And from then on, I told myself, whatever CCA I put my hand to do, I would give it my very, very, very best. And I would try again and again and again. What is it that keeps you trying? What is it that keeps your faith alive? You know, and very often it's like that. It's that God would come alongside. You know, this word comforter, sometimes you see it, the Holy Spirit described as a comforter, one who is called alongside. Literally in Greek, it's split that way. It's someone called alongside. What is it that keeps us going? You know, it's those moments when you are down, when you are out, when you really feel like giving up, and you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up. I made a mistake. You know, I didn't make it. I could have done better. I did not represent you well. And you just feel so ashamed. And that word that God gives is, I'm not ashamed of you. And not only that, here I am coming alongside. And He will give that word of encouragement. And you know, that melts my heart. Seriously. Those experiences melt my heart. Because that word is so, so strong, so powerful, I would do anything, everything to try again. You know, young people, that's what faith is. Faith is not asking you to be, whoa, Superman on top of the world. Faith is simply asking you to try again and again and again, every day, every week, every month, every year for the rest of your life. That's what faith is. You know, that is what faith is. Not asking you to be perfect. Try. That's what it is. Keep trying. And the other word that I want to suggest to you that faith is something to be kept. Faith is something to be kept. Do you know, I mean, just look at this for example. You know, this is life, right? Okay? And we all begin in faith somewhere. We have a beginning point. Correct? We all have a beginning point. And this is the middle part where you struggle, struggle, struggle. And then there comes to be an ending point. And the problem is, everybody gives up somewhere along the line. I mean, people give up halfway through, somewhere along the line. People just give up. And this is what I saw when I was younger. I remember all those, you know, attending youth conference again and again, and people will go up there and share the testimony about how touched they are and how they want to change and how they want to have faith, and I don't see them today. You know, and I determined within my heart that if faith means anything at all, it is something that must be kept. These all died in faith, 11:13. That's what it says. If faith means something to you at all, if your relationship with God means something to you at all, keep it. For goodness sake, keep that faith. You know, and that's something that I really, really determined in my heart that I wanted to do. You see this in Abraham. You see this in Sarah. It's not that they are perfect. It's that even though they made mistakes, they learned from it. And Abraham, mind you, made mistakes, the same mistake again and again. Okay, if you really read it carefully, he actually made the same mistake twice. And you know something? That's fine. Well, as long as you keep trying and as long as you keep that faith to the end, right? This faith of yours is something worth keeping. Is it really, really something worth keeping? If you ask yourself in your heart of hearts, if it is, then make that determination. Keep that faith. Be here. Be a stayer. Be a committed person. Because you know what? That is what God is looking out for. Yes, we will struggle up and down, down and up, yo-yo, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, whatever roller coaster, however way you want to describe your faith in God. Just keep trying and just keep your faith. Day in, day out, year in, year out, wherever you go, when you travel overseas, whether you're here, whether you're a student, you know what? You keep your faith. You keep it still. You keep it there. This is what God is looking out for. Right? Of course, there are lots of other things we want to learn and consider, but you know something? Keep going. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, God is not ashamed of us. God wants us to have faith. At the end of the day, God is that rewarder of faith. You know, you look at verse 16. Okay? And he has prepared a city for them. And I like this idea of a city. You know, in Greek, this word is polis. So you see Superman, right? What's his city? His city is Metropolis, correct? So the polis is the Greek word. Polis, right? So this is a city. It's not city of London. It's not city of Singapore. It's not city of New York. It's a city that God specially prepares for those who have faith. At the end of life's day, you know what? A city is waiting for you. And it's a wonderful thought. You know, I always wonder, what do you think the name of this city is? Maybe it's a Saint City. Right? You know, like Biopolis, for example. So Biopolis would be Life Polis, right? So I think maybe the city would be what? Theopolis. Because it's Theos City. But never mind. But it's a city, okay? And there's another word that is used to describe this, and I really like this word. Okay, in verse 14. You see that word homeland. You see the word homeland? Oh, I like this word. You know, this word can be translated in another way, in a more direct, literal way, and that way is called fatherland. In the Second World War, one of the ways that the Nazis, okay, would use to rally that nationalistic feeling and spirit of home is fatherland. It says, fight for fatherland. Okay, so that's what they would use. That is Germany. Fatherland, they call it fatherland. But it literally means a place where home is, where family is, where you belong, homeland. Right? And that's what it is. God has prepared a city for us. It is a homeland that we can look forward to. You know, I always remember this experience because going out on exchange, I went over for a year, almost a year. So when I came back, I traveled to many airports, went to different places, and I remember that last flight coming back to Singapore. You know, and sometimes when I'm overseas, I would dream about places in Singapore. I would dream about Kovan. You know, Kovan is lovely. I mean, it has everything you need. There's good food there. And somehow, your mind would just go back there. It would go to Kovan. And the other place I dream about is our sanctuary, actually. And why not? I mean, this is the place where we come to know the Lord, come to love the Lord. You know, this is the place where your heart is stirred. This is home. Homeland. Something in you longs to go back. And that's what it is. You know, on that flight back, yeah, it's just incredible sensation of going home. You know, I packed my things, I was in London, made my way to Heathrow Airport, went back. For those of you who are traveling, you know, hey, home. You know, I'm coming home. I don't care where I'm going home. And that's what it is. In life, you see, young people, in life, God is not ashamed. You struggle, yes. You are human, you struggle, yes. Keep struggling, keep trying, keep your faith. At the end of life, God is that rewarder. Right? And he prepared a city for us, a home, a place where you will always, always, always belong, homeland. You know, if you look at all these things that God is doing, right? Do you see where this is life, okay? God is not ashamed, okay? And after life, this is death and beyond, okay? You have the things that God has prepared for you, a city, homeland. Fatherland, whatever you want to call it. In between this journey from life to death, one thing that is needed of you, one thing, your faith. Keep that faith. Try. Keep that faith. Again and again and again and again. You know, and what does faith mean to you? If it really means a lot to you, you would just keep trying. Over and over and over again. You know, I just wonder, what are the things that get you down? Are there distractions? Are there things that would take your heart, that would take your mind? Sorry. Are there things that would take your mind and your heart away from the Lord? Would you keep trying? Would you keep on going no matter what it is? Would you keep your faith all the way to the end? Because that's what God wants. You know, God wants us just to be true to Him, just to be faithful to Him. And why should we not? Why should we not when we have such a wonderful God? Look, He's not ashamed. Look, he's a rewarder, right? And in between life and death, have that faith. That is what God is really, really looking out for. Okay, and that's just a thought that I really, really want to leave with you. Have that faith. Have that faith in the Lord. Stay true to the Lord all the way through. And whatever it is that you're struggling with, keep on struggling. Deal with it. Deal with the sins that are there. I'm going to have to stop soon because I keep coughing. Sorry. But that's what it is. Okay? And I'm going to challenge you this afternoon. Make this commitment. First, exercise your faith. Always exercise your faith. Don't depend on your feelings. Don't depend on your heart that condemns you. No. Exercise your faith. What does your faith tell you? God is not ashamed of you. And that's it. Second, never, never give up. In your own walk with the Lord, never stop trying. Never. And I mean never. Whatever path you're on, never stop trying. And the third thing I want to ask you to commit to, keep your faith to the end. You ask yourself, if your faith is something worth keeping, then you be the stayer. You be that one that keeps his or her faith all the way through to the end. Okay? Now let's pray together. Before you go to your groups, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for this word that you have given to us. We look at our own lives and we confess that we are just nowhere strong, we're going nowhere fast, and we're not consistent and we are weak. And yet we look at you and you are not ashamed of us. We look at how you are one who would reward us at the end of the day, and we know that you ask one thing of us. And you ask for us to have that faith in you. And Lord, we pray that you will stir our hearts to keep trying no matter what. You would stir our hearts to keep faith, this faith in you, all the way through until the day that we draw our final breath, until the day that we go home. We pray and ask that you will help us to have and to discover, to develop this faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. Collect the offering.